In studio, the tarnished Simon Coveney, Minister for Foreign Affairs and Trade, Cork South Central representative since, 1998 now, I think. 20, yeah. What's that, your 21st anniversary?
Years, yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Thanks very much.
Coming of age. This arrived yesterday, eventually. There was a lot of commotion on Lee's side that people weren't getting the locally elected mayor brochure. Do you think it arrived quite late for people who were coming late to the game?
Well, I mean, that's the independent one that's in terms of the information leaflet. But, I mean, political parties have been talking about this for many months. I mean, certainly we've done a leaflet drop of the entire city as a party. But, you know, the point I wanted to make this morning is that this isn't a Fine Gael thing, a Fianna Fáil thing, a Sinn Féin or Labour issue or Green issue. In fact, all the political parties are supporting the call for a directly elected mayor.
Yeah, I checked that this morning. Even Sinn Féin are on board
so,
on this.
You know, Micheál Martin's in favour of this. You know, Sinn Féin have made it very clear that they're in favour of it. So too are the Greens. In fact, the Greens are actively campaigning, which is great. The Social Democrats as well are a big part of advocating for
a directly elected mayor. We talked about it yesterday on the air, and I have to tell you, overwhelming negativity towards it. Like, I can show you the text.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's talk about it, because, you know, I think it's important to explain the idea here, rather than focus on one element of it, which seems to have been the focus yesterday, which was cost, which actually Cork City isn't going to have to bear. You know, there is a modest cost to this, but this is fundamentally changing the way in which the Lord Mayor's office functions, the power they have, the kind of person that will run to be Lord Mayor of Cork.
And, but you know, Simon, page 5 of the brochure says, under the section costs, Lord Mayor and it will have executive functions ranging, and the cost of the office will range between 313,000 and 450,000. These estimates do not include possible pension related costs for the Lord Mayor or the two advisors. So it could be higher than 450,000.
Yeah,
and it says these costs would be met from Cork City Council's resources.
Well, the government has made it clear through the Minister, John Paul Phelan, that there is a local government reform fund, which is 10 million euros a year that's available. And the increased cost in Limerick, in Waterford and in Cork to changing to a directly elected mayor model will be taken by the Exchequer generally, not by the local authority. So that's been very clear during this campaign. What I don't want to happen when people are making a choice on Friday is to think solely about cost and salary, because there's something much bigger at play here. And if Cork misses the opportunity to make this change, I think people are going to regret it.
Why?
When they see Limerick with a directly elected a political champion that is advocating for Limerick, or in the case for Waterford, the same nationally, people will be saying, why don't we have that kind of power in Cork?
Okay, well, you're in here now because you must sense, otherwise you wouldn't be here with me, that this is going to be lost if you don't intervene.
No, I mean,
you were out last night with Gerry Buttermer, who's the Director of Elections for this change. What was the reaction on the doors?
Actually, people are open to it, but they need to understand what it's about.
Maybe they're just being mannerly to you.
Well, maybe. But I mean, the reason I'm in here this morning is that I'm passionate about it. You know, this isn't advocating for Fine Gael or any party political interest. This is because I love Cork. I'm from here. This is a great city.
Well, sell it to us then.
Yeah, I am going to sell it to you, because the next 10 to 20 years for Cork is going to be a period of growth and expansion and investment, the likes of which we have never seen before. We, for the first time in Ireland, have a proper second city strategy to create a counterbalance to Dublin and its dominance over the last 50 years. We're talking about increasing the population of Cork City from 130,000, which is what it's been for the last 20 years or so, to 350,000 by expanding the boundary, changing the size and footprint of Cork City by 5 times, which is what's just happened in legislation, and we're also giving more powers to local government. What we're trying to do here is to create an office and a political champion for Cork with real powers. The powers for the first time given to a politician around planning, around housing, around roads functions, corporate functions. It'll be the responsibility of the Lord Mayor to put forward the budget, not the Chief Executive. And so we have looked across Europe at local authorities that work, where mayors are champions.
Big,
for the
big
people.
Cities. Like,
no,
you'd be talking Liverpool's
and
London and Paris.
There are thousands of directly elected mayors across France. And they
similar sizes to us.
Yes, absolutely. And they become then champions for the city. If they're not performing, the people kick them out. If they are performing, they stay in. We don't have that facility today in Cork. The chief executive in Cork City Council, Anne Doherty, who's doing a pretty good job, actually.
So leave her off,
in my view. No, but this shouldn't be personality-based. It should be office-based. If we have a chief executive that people aren't happy with, they can't get rid of them. And so what we're trying to do here is give the power to the people to create the most powerful political office in Cork. I think actually this will be creating the most powerful politician outside of the cabinet in the country, because what you're going to have here is somebody who's managing a budget of about €250 million for Cork, someone who will be in charge of Cork City Hall, working in partnership with the chief executive who has to help them deliver. But the most important thing...
Well, what if you get somebody who's not experienced and we get a kind of a Trump-like...
If we get somebody who,
elected Lord Mayor,
if we get someone who's a disaster,
yeah,
right, the council can remove them. So the councillors will still have real power. The mayor will be answerable to the council. The mayor will have to get a programme for office passed by the council. The council can, with a 4/5 majority, remove the mayor if they want to.
Which they can't do with the chief executive.
Of course they can't.
Okay.
Of course they can't. Okay. So this is about changing. I mean, people often say
to me... Is this somebody who would carry a torch for Cork or knock heads together or be an advocate or champion Cork then?
Well, a lot more than that. I mean, they will be a champion for Cork, and they will have the mandate of a city of over 300,000 people supporting them. When they knock on the Taoiseach's door or the Taoiseach's door or any government minister's door for Cork, they will be listened to because they will be powerful and they'll have a serious direct mandate from the people. I say that as somebody with a lot of respect for the Lord Mayor's office in Cork. My own father was a Lord Mayor. A lot of my friends have been Lord Mayors of Cork. And it's a position that's important and that people do respect. But this is about giving that office a whole new series of powers and profile nationally and internationally.
What will the chief executive do?
Which is what we're trying to achieve in Cork. I mean, this is a city that should be ambitious for itself, that should demand a response from government. And this is creating an office that can do that in a way that quite simply isn't possible with the current structure.
So what's going to happen then with regards to the role of the chief executive and the assistant, the recently appointed assistant chief executive?
Yeah, which
and
is
also,
a good question.
Yeah, and also the 31 councillors. What are they all going to be doing?
Okay, so what we're doing here is effectively modelling a new local government structure on what works best across Europe, which is to make sure the most powerful person in the local authority, the leader, if you like, of local government in Cork City will be the Lord Mayor, and they will have the powers to go with that.
No, I'm asking you about the rest of them.
Yeah, absolutely. So the relationship then between the chief executive and the Lord Mayor will be very similar to the relationship between a government minister and the secretary general of a government department. So in my department, for example, I run policy in my department, but to get things done, I need to work with an executive that can deliver passports, that can provide consular services that can help me deliver policies both at home and abroad on Brexit and on so many other issues. And that is the role of the General Secretary within the department, to help me deliver the policy platform that I decide
on. I don't want to know about you. I want to know about what happens with the Chief Executive, her job.
And in Cork City Council, what will happen here is that a Lord Mayor will have to, first of all, fight for an election to get elected. And what you will have in this studio, Neil, is you'll have five or six people who are all contesting this job. They'll all be outlining their vision for Cork, what they want to achieve. You'll be able to test them on that. And not only that, if and when they get elected, they will then have to get that vision or that program for delivery, if you like, endorsed and passed by a majority in the council. In the first few months of being a Lord Mayor, then they will have to deliver with the management team and the chief executive on that vision, and they'll be held to account on that. And so a chief executive in Cork City Council will be really busy getting the housing programmes delivered, the roads programmes delivered, working with the Department of Transport around public transport investment.
And the Lord Mayor will kind of hover and oversee an awful lot of this.
The Lord Mayor will be answerable to the council and to the people here. So at the moment, the chief executive in Cork City Council is a powerful figure, but a lot of people don't know who they are. They don't stand for election. They have to answer questions to the council, but essentially the executive make most of the decisions in Cork City Council. If I want to get something done in Cork, and there are lots of things that I'm trying to get done, you know, you've tested me on many of them. I go to the management by and large in Cork City Council. If I had a Lord Mayor's office with the proper resources to get things done, working with management, I would have a direct relationship with that person. The other thing is,
would a Lord Mayor elected have access to government departments and
absolutely,
ministers?
Absolutely, because I mean, it would be a very naive minister who wouldn't open their door to somebody who's representing, you know, a city of 300,000 people.
Okay,
so with all the investment that's there, I mean, look, don't forget what's actually happening in Cork today. You know, we are planning for Cork to be the fastest growing urban region in this country for the next 20 years. There's a huge public investment program from, you know, Dunkettle to the N28 to the N22 to the M20 to, you know, new business schools to the UCC.
Lewis from Ballincollig to...
Yeah, that's going to take time, right? But I mean, if we are...
I haven't a notion how you're going to pull that off with the state of the roads and the narrowness.
If we're serious about building a modern city that is... that has a reputation internationally to be a great place to live and work, to create a proper counterbalance to Dublin for the first time since independence, well then, we need to be really ambitious.
So you're saying don't cut your nose off despite your face on this. There's a lot of negativity to all politicians at the moment. Yeah,
the danger here is that no matter what I'm advocating for, it's going to be attacked because it's a politician proposing it. Like, what I'd say to people, and I'd really ask them to listen on this score, is like, we didn't have to have a plebiscite on this issue at all. Like, I could have just passed the law to set up a directly elected mayor in Cork, or Lord Mayor in Cork. We could have just gone ahead and done it.
Why didn't you?
We did that in relation to changing the city boundaries. We've done it in relation to a whole series of other reforms for local government. But because I want the people to have ownership of this decision, we've decided to have a plebiscite. And my fear here is that Limerick's going to say yes. That Cork, if it doesn't say yes, in 2 or 3 years' time, will be looking at Limerick and saying, why don't we have a powerful local politician advocating for the city and county?
They have an advocate. We lost the opportunity.
And we'll have lost the opportunity. But, so what I'm saying is, please don't get dragged into a cul-de-sac here on arguing over the minutiae of whether it's one or two advisors for the office or like the salary.
But the money matters. Like when you hear of families looking for traffic calming measures in their housing estates.
I accept that.
When you have parents outside the CUH with placards for kids with diabetes,
yeah, which is why if we have a powerful mayor's office, they can advocate on those issues to get real delivery for Cork. This isn't about whether or not we have an extra salary in City Hall.
You think
or
the
not.
Money doesn't matter?
No, the money does matter. But I think we have to put this into context. The current budget for Cork City Council is 168 million euros a year. The budget for a larger Cork City with the extended boundaries is probably going to be about 250 million euros a year.
And this is a small change in that, is it?
Like, I would never dismiss it as small change. A salary is a salary, and this is a good salary. But we are creating a full-time job here, which will be probably a 12-hour day. It'll involve a lot of pressure and a lot of demands, and it needs to attract the kind of person that can do
just
that.
Just on that attracting the kind of person.
There is no way we can say that a future mayor, Lord Mayor, that's directly elected, that's going to have all of the pressures and responsibilities that come with that, can do it on a voluntary basis. I mean, let's be honest.
I'm not suggesting that. I mean, if it happens, they have to pay to get the right person.
The best people from sport, from business, from
sport,
from civil society.
This will be
passionate about their city.
Okay.
Who wants to actually drive the agenda in a positive way? And will get the resources.
Political nominations, won't they? You guys will put one forward. Micheál will put someone forward. Sinn Féin will put someone forward.
Yeah. And the people will choose.
So it will be a politically appointed candidate.
No. Anybody can stand. And then the people will choose their champion.
Luck to them if they haven't got a political party behind them.
No, well, look, I mean, we see lots of independents get elected across the country, both in Cork City Council, Cork County Council and elsewhere. If the people want to choose an independent, they can. If they want to choose somebody from, you know, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil,
they can. But why would you give somebody a background in sport? Let's say there were legends in sport. They're not accountants. They're not business people.
They don't need to be accountants or business people. That's why you have a chief executive and their team there.
Just need to have cop on, is it?
No. What you need, in my view, is somebody who has a vision for the city, somebody who has the stamina to be able to do this job, and somebody who understands what Cork wants and demands, and then to try to deliver that through politics. It's not unusual for leaders in sport to become leaders in other walks of life. Look at at someone like Jimmy Deanahan, you know, in Limerick, who became hugely influential politically. Look at someone like Jack Lynch, who made the same transition. So
over a long time, you're talking about that could be parachuting Ronan O'Gara in. No disrespect to Ronan O'Gara on the pitch,
but I mean, this isn't a call for political parties. This will be a choice for the people of Cork. They will decide who their political champion is. And what I'm doing is I'm saying we're offering now the opportunity for Cork, the people of Cork, to decide who their first citizen is for the first time. It's never happened before. At the moment, what we have is political parties negotiate with each other and they decide who, year after year, will be the Lord Mayor.
That worked because it's ceremonial, because we had a chief executive and a city manager to get on with the job.
And it's worked to a certain extent, right? And I think that we've had a lot of great Lord Mayors in this city as a result of that process. But this changes the dial totally. And it puts the first citizen firmly in the hands of people, not political parties. And it then gives that person real power, like they don't have at the moment, so that it's the person who's directly elected by the people.
But what if it's just a showman?
Well, if it's just a showman and they fail, they'll be exposed fairly quickly. And they'll either be voted out the next time out, or they'll be removed by the council.
Or showwoman as well in the political world we live in.
But look, I think we have, think we have enough big personalities in this city that will ensure that we'll have a real contest for this role. And I think people will be really interested in that. And I think the focus then will be in City Hall to create a political champion for this city, for its ambitions, for its future, to advocate and to work with people like me and others to get the kind of priority that's needed in Dublin for Cork projects and Cork people. What we are essentially doing at the moment is trying to reshape the country over the next 10 to 20 years away from the dominance of Dublin. And Cork has to be central to that and will be central to it. And what I'd like to see, and in many ways, by the way, as a, you know, as a politician in Leinster House, creating a very powerful Lord Mayor will put me under more pressure too to deliver on projects. And that's a good thing. But also create a dynamic between City Hall and government.
If there was
that, in my view, has a lot more balance and creates a lot more power.
Okay, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So this is an opportunity.
The danger here is that because this is being proposed by politicians, that people think there's a catch. There isn't a catch. This is not about party politics. It's about giving more power to Cork City Council and to Cork people, modelled on the best local government structures across Europe. And when I hear some councillors coming out trying to trash this, I would ask people to ask themselves the question, you know, is there vested interest here? Are these people who want to be, you know, Lord Mayors themselves in the future through the existing
system? You
say
that Terry Shannon was coming out of the blocks yesterday because he wants to be Lord Mayor in the future.
I'm not going to personalise that, but what I would say to people is that Terry Shannon's party leader is strongly in favour of this. Someone who's passionate about Cork, someone who doesn't have a vested interest because they don't sit on the council. And so I would ask people to listen to what all of the political parties are saying in relation
to... People don't trust politicians, you see.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah. They don't. But read about this, have a look at it. I haven't heard anybody make a coherent case against this, apart from Terry Shannon saying we don't want an extra salary in Cork City Council. I mean, if there's not just the salary,
they'd all get pensions after the 5-year term.
No, but Neil, you know, if there was a proposal tomorrow morning to create another managerial job in Cork City Council around housing, around roads, around public transport, they would just get on and do it. There'd be an extra salary, there'd be an extra pension provision. No, but there wouldn't be a word about it.
So would the Lord Mayor keep a close eye on that kind of carry-on?
So what I'm saying here is that any extra cost in terms of salaries or roles will be picked up by government, not by local authorities. So what Terry Shannon was saying yesterday, which is that this is going to mean we're going to have to take money away from the roads budget or the footpaths budget or something else, that is simply not true. And Minister John Paul Phelan, who's responsible for this area, has made it very clear that we have a local government reform fund, which is about facilitating reform and modernisation of local authorities, which costs money. And that is where the extra cost will come from. So this is purely about asking people. The finances aren't changing here in terms of cost for Cork City Council because government will be picking up that tab.
So you say...
This is about,
I'm vague on that as to who's actually paying. I mean,
I'm telling you, that's the commitment the government has made.
But why do we have TDs then in Dáil Éireann and senators and ministers and tánaistes in Dublin? Surely they're supposed to be doing all of this work.
And we are. You know, that's why in the new 2040 plan for Ireland, Cork is a huge priority. And, you know, that's a plan that I put in place when I was in that department. It's about reshaping a country to increase the prominence of Cork, increase its size, its influence.
So you're
and
saying...
Part of that plan around the resurgence of Cork, if you want, over the next two decades, is to give a local political champion in Cork City Council with real powers
okay.
this time.
I want to take a quick ad break, Ben, because there's one or two things.
I just don't see any downside to doing that, and I would really appeal to people to think about it and to make sure that we don't miss this golden opportunity to increase the influence and profile.
You say it's time for Cork to grow up, then?
No, but what I am saying is that Cork...
I don't mean that in a negative way.
I mean, this is Cork is in transition right now. We are going
you see,
to
people
see.
Have nowhere to live. That's the thing. And they hear this is great now, another job created for the boys, two advisors, 600 grand.
Yeah, believe me.
And I'm in a hostel or I'm in a guest house or a hotel bedroom.
And their problems we need to fix. And we are going to fix. And that's why we're increasing...
Yada, yada, yada. I've heard that before.
Not yada, yada, yada. We're building a lot more houses now than we were building last year or the year before.
No. The only thing that's been built around here are apartment blocks for students.
Yeah, and we need more of that. We need more student accommodation.
You should get it because you're an intelligent man. But if you're inviting all of these people to come in from overseas to work for companies here in Ireland who pay them reasonably okay money, not all of them, some of it is crappy, it's down to the city and the country, Ireland, to provide them with somewhere to live.
It is.
That's not responsible.
Yeah, and no, that's why we have a housing challenge in Ireland, which is significant. That's why, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, we simply weren't building houses at all, apart from one-off houses across the countryside. We'll build close to 25,000 housing units this year across the country. Next year, it'll probably be 30,000. We need to get...
8,000 on a housing list. It's down to about 4,500, I think.
Last year, just under 9,000 extra social houses were provided in Ireland. It'll be over 10,000 this year.
I'm only interested in what's happening down here now with regards to our housing list. Yeah, for everybody that comes off the housing list, 30 go on it.
Actually, the housing list in Cork over the last number of years has reduced slightly. Neil?
It has?
Yes, it has. But having said that, that is partly because there were some people on the housing lists who shouldn't have been. But I'm not denying for 1 minute that we don't have huge housing pressures. I'm not denying for 1 minute that we shouldn't have individuals and families who are homeless in emergency accommodation.
It costs
like
75 to 100 grand to keep a family in a hotel room a year.
I know that, right? Which is why we need to change that.
Well, why don't you build the houses yourself? You're paying way over cost from buying them from private
builders.
We are
building the houses ourselves. We'll spend 2.6 billion euros this year on housing.
Getting other people to build them and you're paying premium.
Neil, sorry, we're not. What we're doing is we are delivering social housing through multiple forms. Local authorities are building some.
They spent nearly 100 grand buying 2 4-bedroom houses in Mahon on the Scarhard Road. Come on.
Sorry, are you saying that we shouldn't be buying 2 houses for 100,000?
I'm saying you should be buying 4 for 250,000. Not 2 for 450 each.
Local authorities are under pressure to build houses, to buy houses, to refurbish houses, to get vacant houses back into use. All of those things.
Do you have a drive around, look at all of the vacant houses?
Yes, I have. Absolutely, I have.
And Some of them, two years, sitting there.
And I speak to...
Of course, the elected Lord Mayor would kick ass on that.
I speak to housing officials to move on that. And by the way, they are moving. And that we have brought...
They're telling you that, though. They're just blowing smoke.
No, listen, I was a housing minister, right? And I have driven
around.
They've
boarded up houses all over the place for a year, two years. What about all of the dereliction? What about all of the landlords who are just sitting on empty properties in the city?
Listen, this is one of the reasons why we want a politician with more power than anybody else in City Hall. So that actually when there are issues like this, that they're talking to a housing minister, they're talking to a Taoiseach about this, trying to drive and force change as quickly as we can make it happen in Cork. We are doing that already on housing, but I think a directly elected Lord Mayor could certainly assist us.
I know you have other interviews, I appreciate that, but could a directly elected Lord Mayor have the legislative power to put in place local laws to say to property owners that they, if they don't use it, they will lose it? Would he have that, or he or she have that kind of power?
Well,
to seize property.
I mean, there'll be, well, no, because there will be I mean, there'll be a balance between national laws. So a Lord Mayor, just like the current council at the moment, can't pass legislation in many areas. They can pass bylaws.
They can do things with regards to parking and things.
They can set rates. They can do loads of things in relation to social housing programs. They can work in partnership.
But they can't enforce somebody to do up a building or to turn it around.
Yes, they can. They can. They can. They can put a dereliction order on a building. They can have a compulsory purchase order implemented on a building.
We want to see that. You see. Yes, we'd love to see loads
of that. And that. And in those areas, we need proactivity from local authorities. And by the way, a lot of that is happening in Cork. We are getting a lot of vacant properties back into use.
Are you being told that, is it, or do you see it?
No, I see it.
Clear the trolleys in the A&E, the minister's coming kind of a thing?
Look, Neil, you know, you can be cynical about this if you want to.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not saying that we've solved the housing crisis, not by a long shot. But we are working on doing that, and the trends are moving in the right direction in terms of increasing supply dramatically. We need to do a lot more of that if this city is going to grow and expand in a sustainable way.
I'm trying to cover as much as I can, and I know that you're under pressure, but I just want to come back. Quick ad break. Just two quick questions after the ad break, if you could hold on.
No worries.
You can text 086-8104-106 if you have any comments regarding my conversation with the Taoiseach to Simon Coveney. Back after these.
The Neil Prendeville Show.
With Tesco Club Card. A little extra help every time you shop. Tesco. Every little helps.
Loath though I am to bring it up again, the event centre, where the hell are we at?
Yeah, look, I mean, and your listeners, have been very frustrated on this project.
A directly elected mayor probably would have put it across the line a long time ago.
I don't think so, actually. And, you know, if it hadn't been for me and lots of other stubborn people who will not let this project go, it may have collapsed long ago, but it's not going to collapse. This is going to happen. We've had a series of meetings again in the last couple of weeks. The Taoiseach's department is now directly
involved. What's holding it
up? I mean, the straight answer to that is the caution of civil servants, I think.
But you're their boss, aren't you?
No, well, I'm not their boss. To the extent that I can't force decisions to be made without the appropriate processes being followed, and that's the reality.
And what are they worried about?
Yeah, the government's going to be putting, you know, a lot of money into this project, at least 30 million euros, and then probably more than that in the context of, you know, upgrading the locality around it in terms of footpaths, roads, bridges, lighting, and so on. The original tender committed an awful lot less than that from the state. And so we want to make sure that when final funding decisions are agreed with BAM and Live Nation, that's not really challenged.
They're agreed. We know it's 30 million. We know that the issue is whether it's a loan or a gift.
Except it's not quite as straightforward as that. What we have now in terms of timelines is BAM need to finalise what they need to do with Cork City Council in terms of the current planning application that's in. That's going to take another month to 6 weeks. And we have committed to try to resolve all the funding issues in that period as well in parallel. Believe me, Neil, you know, if I could come out and give you, you know, definitive date.
You did in the past. No, I have in the false dawns, you call them.
Yes, yeah. And that's been a huge frustration for me. But what I'd say to people is, look, I've nothing to hide in this project. I've never hidden from media scrutiny, from questions on it, unlike other people. I am working hard as the senior politician in this city to make this project happen, which is a massive project for Cork City. It's a 6,000-seater event centre.
That's the history. That's going to be worth
about 100 million a year.
Is it that BAM changed all of the planning and did different things and they have to go back again and get that agreed?
Undoubtedly, this project has changed as it's moved on.
How responsible are BAM for all of this?
Well, look, you know, I'm less interested in the blame game and calling people out in terms of their responsibility and more interested in getting it done, quite frankly. When I walk down Patrick Street, people say to me, what's the story with the event centre? Can you get the thing across the line? And my focus is on getting it across the line, not blaming people or diverting away from my own responsibilities. No interest in that. I'm happy to take the heat and take the criticism until this gets done. That's what politics should be about. And it will get done. It is immensely frustrating for me that it's taken this long because I've given commitments and timelines that we haven't been able to follow through on. But what I would say to people is that we are going to stick with this. It's going to get done. The government is going to commit to putting tens of millions of euros into this project. Live Nation have committed to putting 35 million euros of their private money into this as well.
Well, they would. They're a business. I mean, I understand
they're a business, but that's still a lot of money, and that's not the business model they normally follow.
They're getting 30 million. I'm quite sure that's not the business model they usually
follow
either.
They're not actually getting 30 million. They're getting an event center that is going to cost multiples of that. And they are putting their own money in too, as indeed are BAM. We are, in my view, on the right track to get.
But you're
this
not
done.
Giving dates anymore.
Well,
you're not
well,
talking
no,
about.
No. What I'm saying is the length of time that it's going to take to finalise the planning issues, because this is a much bigger, physical bigger project than it used to be, is also the time frame now for us to finalise the funding issues.
That's 5 or 6 weeks.
And the legal issues. Exactly, it is. So
5 or 6 weeks. We're talking about end of June.
Like I'm happy to be in here again in the middle of June talking about this.
All right.
But it's. I think it'll be actually the middle of July before. I can't remember the exact date when the current planning timelines run out. But as far as I can remember, it's the middle of July.
But is it a loan, this 10 million, or are we giving it to them?
Well, there's 9 million, which legally. Is a repayable loan, but only under certain circumstances.
What does that mean?
Well, look, you know, I don't think it's helpful for me to go into the legalities quite honestly.
Okay.
My job, as I said to you many times before, is to, people aren't interested in the minutiae and the detail anymore. They want to know, is this going to get done and when? And what I'm saying to you is that by the middle of this summer, I hope we will have clarified both the planning issues and the financial issues. And finally, we can see the cranes that are currently on site building student accommodation shifting over to building an event centre for the city.
Okay, we have a T-Day on June 5th. T-Day as in being Trump Day. Did he invite himself or did Leo Varadkar invite him?
Well, I mean, he indicated that he wanted to come. There's an open invitation for the US president and he's now coming.
Are you expecting protests?
Yeah, I am. I think there'll be, but I mean, you know, we live in a democracy and I'm sure there'll be protests. A lot of decisions that President Trump has made, I think, you know, the Irish government certainly haven't been comfortable with and have been critical of in many cases. Certainly I have been. And I think many people in Ireland will want to protest and that's their right. But, you know, let's not forget who's coming here. This is the President of the United States, a country that Ireland has a very, very close relationship with. There's up to 40 million.
You could hardly say no, I suspect.
Well, of course, we're not going to say no. Just like, you know, the Taoiseach is always welcome in Washington. A US president is always welcome to come to Ireland. That doesn't mean that we don't challenge each other in relation to policy decisions and politics. But certainly, I think anybody who suggests that we should, you know, ban the President of the United States from coming to Ireland, you know, I don't think they really understand
the backlash that could occur
It's about maintaining the kind of relationship with the most powerful political office in the world that Ireland has. We have a unique
relationship. I'm not so sure that that's a good enough reason, because that could be a dictator, that could be Stalinist or Hitler-like. Hitler, I get that.
What I'm saying is, we can of course challenge decisions that are made by the current administration in the White House. And that's fair game. But I believe that a US president, given the relationship between Ireland and the US, both politically, historically and economically, should always be valued and protected.
If he's a dislikable kind of a guy, chap.
Of course. And part of that is respecting and recognizing that the office of the United States, of the President of the US, he's coming to Ireland. We, of course, will facilitate that, and we look forward to meeting him.
Okay.
Can I just say one other thing? Because,
you know, you have an interview with Tip FM, and they're screaming at me for this.
And there are 4 votes for people on Friday. Obviously, to elect local election candidates, to have a plebiscite, which I hope people will vote yes to, because I think we're going to cut off our nose to spite our face if we don't do that.
We need to watch Limerick, do we?
We'll be looking at a directly elected mayor in Limerick as a powerful national political figure, and people in Cork will be saying, what the hell has happened? Why don't we have that kind of person here in Cork?
Okay.
And let's not, you know, don't be listening to me on it. Listen to what other business people are saying in the city. Listen to what other advocates are saying in the city, civil society.
I know that, but I'm also listening to what listeners are saying, and it's good to balance it with your conversation. It may change some minds.
Lots of your listeners mightn't like me, or mightn't like Fine Gael, and therefore
they just don't trust politicians, you see. You're suffering because of that now.
But please trust me on this. This isn't about politicians. All political parties are saying,
please trust
make
me
sense?
On this. A politician saying, please trust me on this. This is a good one.
Well, you know, you don't have to vote for me, but don't vote against this because you don't like me.
I know what you're saying.
And the other thing I say is we have European elections as well. Okay, these are the most serious European elections ever in Ireland. Europe is going to be a more divided and a more challenging place politically. So think about that.
Okay, okay.
And I would say think about someone like Deirdre Clune, who has been an extraordinary advocate for this city in the European
Party
Parliament.
Political broadcast to finish then.
But,
all right.
You know,
listen, out of respect for others, I'm going to stop because you have other commitments. I'd stay talking to you until 10 o'clock, but I'm not in a position to do that. Have a good day today. Good luck to you. And we'll see what happens in the next few days. Friday, of course, is
Look forward to it.
Voting
I'll probably
day.
See you at the count, I hope.
Okay, absolutely.
Thanks,
for
Nick.
Now, Tánaiste, Simon Coveney. Lines are open at 1850-104-106. You can text 0868-104-106 and we'll pick up on your calls and texts throughout the course of the morning. Back after these.
The Neil Prendeville Show.
With Tesco, where you won't pay more for the products that matter most to you. Tesco, every little helps.